Sometimes we talk about the subject of world, and we have to recognize that there's more than one world that the scripture addresses, and if we don't make that distinction, then we're going to have a lot of trouble understanding truth that's being put forth. Well, we found another expression that is along those same lines, and that is the expression of being in Christ. And I want to deal with some of the passages that mention that expression tonight, and notice how that there's different aspects that's being spoken of with regard to. Of course, it's all the same truth, isn't it? But there's different aspects of the ways that it's being mentioned. My first passage, you'll find it in Ephesians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there. Ephesians chapter 1. As a matter of fact, let's just get verse 3 to introduce the thought. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I understand that. It means that every spiritual blessing comes to us from our Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when you hear someone in the world, and oftentimes they're speaking about a very large organization that crosses denominational bounds, but a lot of people are part of that, that lodge. And a lot of people that allow that will say that, you know, there's lots of ways to get to God. Well, I know some people believe that, but the Bible contradicts that. So who are we going to go with? I'm going to go with the Bible. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Okay? So the first way, the first aspect of being in Christ, I want to notice, is that of being elected or chosen. We use that kind of interchangeably. Sometimes the scripture uses election. Sometimes the scripture speaks of being chosen. So first of all, we're in Christ by election or by choice. Now, when God made this choice, it established a covenant with us. And listen, God is a covenant-keeping God. And so once he made that covenant, then we're eternally secure in him. All right? So Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That is so plain to me. It's so plain. It's according to his will. This is what God has done. This is the covenant God has made. This is the choice God has made solely of his own will. No action could possibly have been accomplished by those who were chosen because they didn't exist before the world began. Now, I understand that there's a lot of other churches around that were established many years ago that they may no longer be what we would, you know, they're not in fellowship with us, But their articles of faith, their historical articles of faith, read like ours. But they don't hold to that anymore. Bless your hearts. We understand the truth of God's word. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. All right? 2 Timothy 1 and 9. You remember that passage. These are foundational passages that you know, it's our go-to text when we want to just speak of this truth. Where Paul was teaching Timothy that... He says, be thou a partaker of the afflictions, and be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Here it is. Who hath saved us? It's done. Yeah. Who hath saved us and called us, made himself known unto us, not according to our works, nothing we did, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, before the world began. The election took place then, before the world began. I've shared the story with you, I'm sure, about the man in Ozark that was questioning about what we believed as Primitive Baptists. And when I began to tell him, he just said, yeah, that's what we believe. As soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you can become one of the elect. That doesn't square with Scripture. All right? So these things were done before the foundation of the world. But where were we? We were in Christ. We were in the mind and purpose of God, and we were chosen in Him, in Christ. Okay? All right, so by election. All right? Peter would also say, after those five regions were mentioned, Cappadocia, Galatia. I left out one, didn't I? Anyway, those five areas where those strangers scattered throughout Cappadocia, Galatia. I don't know. Let me read it so I won't stumble over it here. I should be able to. Pontus, that's the one I'm leaving out. Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Okay? Then he says, Peter addresses him, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Okay? Elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of spirit and unto obedience of the sprinkling of blood of the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? So Peter mentions that they're elect according to the foreknowledge. Okay? God set his love upon a people that he had chosen in Christ. And that was when he set his love, was before the foundation of the world. And God had spoken through Moses back in Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The same sentiment, even though he was only addressing the Jewish people at that time, the children of Israel, yet this applies to all of us. Okay? He says in Deuteronomy 7:7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Well, I submit to you that they were the fewest because they didn't even exist until God brought them into existence. Okay? God promised a child to Abraham and Sarah, but after a long time of waiting, they decided to try to help the Lord along, and they had an Ishmael, but that wasn't the promised child. And so later on, when it was very evident that neither Abraham nor Sarah was able to have children, see, Ishmael proved that Abraham could still have children then. But later on, when they could neither, you know, their body was as good as dead with that regard, okay, God blessed them with Isaac. God, by his power, brought this into existence. And I've always thought that, or since I came to understand scriptures, I've thought that that's a type or a picture of the way it is with us. As far as being children of God, as much as we may want it for our children, there's nothing we can do to bring that to pass. It takes the power of God when it pleases Him. Okay? But the point is, God did set His love. Okay? He goes on to say in verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, He loved His people among the Jews, and He loves His people among the Gentiles. And so what He's expressing to them was it was because of His love, all right, His foreknowledge, okay, His love that was set upon them. It was set upon the Jewish people in the same way that it would be set upon His people among the Gentiles. But because the Lord loved you, because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So God chose a people in Christ. And we'll get further into what all that involved with these other things, but He chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. Their election, whether we speak of it by election or by choice or being chosen, that's one aspect of being in Christ. And again, God established that covenant, and we are eternally secure in it. Another aspect of being in Christ is by representation. Representation. And by the way, that's legally binding. Okay? You know, there's a lot of things that politicians do that I don't like. But I'm bound to it because I'm under the laws of this country. And we elect a representative to go to Washington or Montgomery or wherever to speak on our behalf, okay? Hopefully to represent us. I think some of them have forgotten that, but that's what they're supposed to do, is represent those that elected them or the people of their district. All right? Representation. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans 5 and 19. Paul says this, and by the inspiration of the Spirit, by the way, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Some people have a problem with that. Some people think, well, I didn't do what Adam did. Well, as far as the human race is concerned, Adam is the federal head. Okay? And God gave a commandment. And it wasn't just for Adam and Eve. It was for everybody. Adam and Eve happened to be the first man and woman that God made. All right? So what we find then, it says, for as by one man's disobedience... And we're talking about Adam. He was the responsible party, right? For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Paul would say in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so... death hath passed upon all men. That's what happened. That's the faithful account of what happened. death passed upon all men. Not just Adam and Eve, but it passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. Paul is speaking about the fact that it passed upon all men, and by that we all became sinners. Some of us by practice, all of us by nature. Hey? Now when I say some of us, children in the womb, they're not capable of being sinner by practice, but we're all sinners by nature. So as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. And I'm sure you know that many is a great number, but not all. Okay? As a matter of fact, if we would go to 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, verse 21. For since by man came death. Isn't that what we're talking about? Right. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. All right? So God designed a way, and it was something that God purposed from the foundation of the world, that even though man would sin, that God would send his son to save his people from their sins. Okay? So for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. All right, Hebrews 2, he said, for as much sin as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. All right, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, shall all be made alive. Now the key to getting the truth out of that is all that were in Adam died in Adam. And all that are in Christ are made alive in Christ. Okay? He has a people. Okay? Out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And so all that were in him, all that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, all right, those are the ones he came to save. And we understand that. Okay? So as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All right? Another passage that really illustrates how that Christ represented us is back in Genesis 22. I love that chapter. It seems like every time I read that chapter, there's just another little detail that surfaces that I hadn't noticed before. But that's the chapter where God told Abraham to take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Well, Abraham had another son, right? He had Ishmael, okay? But what God is telling him here is take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. What he's about to demonstrate for us is only going to apply to Isaac and not Ishmael. Take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto me. There's another detail right there. A burnt sacrifice unto me. Okay? Christ wasn't offered to us. Christ was offered to the Father. Okay? And so you understand how things turned out, and eventually Isaac would say, well, Father, here's the wood and the knife, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for an offering? Isaac knew what it took to make a sacrifice. And evidently, they knew because they were taking the wood with them. They knew, he knew at least, they were going to sacrifice. Where's the lamb for an offering? Do you remember what Abraham said? My son, God will provide himself a lamb for an offering. Well, when they went on a little farther, it became evident that Isaac was going to be that lamb. That all of a sudden the death sentence appears to be upon Isaac. That he was the one that was going to be sacrificed. And Abraham went so far as to bind his hands, lay him upon the wood, raise the knife. The angel of the Lord cried out, Abraham. And Abraham, when he stopped, he looked and he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And I love that picture, don't you? And Abraham didn't have to hurry over there and get it before it got away. No, that ram was caught. Because this is displaying to us God's eternal purpose. That we were chosen in Christ. That he would come to be the substitute. The one that would die in our room instead. The one that would pay our sin debt for us. And I say us. Because later, Paul in the book of Galatians, Galatians 4:28, I believe it is, where he says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So what Isaac represented there, it represented us. Not only Isaac, but us as well. All of God's people. Because all of us who were chosen in Christ before the foundation world, elected, all right? Those of us that Christ came to save, he was our substitute. He took all our sins upon himself. That Romans 5:21, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, speaking of what God did through his son for those who are in Christ, okay, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so those that are in Christ, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, represented what he did as Adam represented us. Christ came and was our substitute. And we were in him. Okay? And so as we think about how that by representation, the scriptures have a number of ways that it shows us these things. And on that, still with that Genesis 22, when the latter part of that, after things were finished, Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. And in the New Testament, Jesus referenced that, didn't he? Over John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. In other words, what happened there in Genesis 22 represented what Jesus came, what Jesus would come to do. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Of course, the Jews scoffed at what he said, didn't they? You're not even 50 years old. And hast thou seen our father Abraham? But he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. And so we find, by representation, we see how that we're in Christ. The things that he did for us. The things he did, we couldn't do for ourselves. But those things that he did for us, God purposed that he would do those things from the foundation of the world, all right? So by election or choice, we're in Christ. We're also in Christ by representation, okay? We're also in Christ by regeneration, okay? And that's when he brings us into a vital, a living relationship with him, all right? Now, the scriptures are clear of the requirement for this, right? Jesus speaking with Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he doesn't have the ability, he doesn't have the faculties to perceive, to know anything about the kingdom of God. Isn't that, now that's the truth that Scripture gives us. But you know, the way it's presented in so many, among so many religious folk, you'd have to change that around to fit their doctrine. You'd have to change it around to say, except you see the kingdom of God, you cannot be born again. Okay? But Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see it. Right? So he has to do his work. He has to be the one to give us life, spiritual, being born again. So regeneration. Romans chapter 3. I'm still speaking about the requirement for regeneration. Romans chapter 3 tells us, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, we read from Romans that as by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. Okay? All right? So there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. And that happened in Adam, didn't it? Okay, all of God's. When that commandment was transgressed, it happened for all of God's, all of Adam's race, right? They're together becoming prophets. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And Paul continues to speak of how man by nature, the natural man, how he is. So, of course, 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, man without the Spirit cannot discern. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. All right? So, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, and you hath he quickened, which is another word for regeneration, another word for being born again, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. All right, we've already talked about how that happened, and it passed upon all men. All right, so you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then he tells us we were like all the others in all those things. But then he says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Quickened together, given the Spirit, given eternal life, given the faculties to hear and respond to the things of God. And it's for those that are in Christ and no others. But all that are in Christ. There's not going to be any left out. You know, Jesus said, when he said, and this is John 6:39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, in election, all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And so all that he had chosen in Christ, all represented by him, will benefit from what he did and will all be quickened. Now, some of them may have to be in the womb, but he quickens all of his chosen. All right? Regeneration. If you keep going in Ephesians chapter 2, of course, we get to that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He is the life-giving voice that speaks to us to raise us from a death in sins to a life in Christ, because we were chosen in him, because he represented us. All right? All of these things speak of how that by regeneration, okay, at times regeneration is spoken of as those that are in Christ. Okay? And of course, John 6:44 also said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Okay? So he draws us unto himself. All right? One more aspect of this I want to notice is there's sometimes the scripture speaks of this being in Christ as a result of obedience. Now we realize that all this other is prerequisite to that, and that there's no way we can obey him except first that he has chosen us and that he has regenerated us. I mean, that's just, when you understand what scripture said, that's what has to happen, all right? So obedience. Let's notice a few of those verses. I'm going to start in Romans 16. As Paul was closing out the letter to the Romans, he's making a lot of salutations and mentions of different ones. In verse 7, he says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. So apparently there was... There were some that, in some sense, were acknowledged as apostles, perhaps, acknowledged as apostles beyond the 12, okay? But we understand the 12 that God ordained to be, that Jesus ordained to be apostles. But he says, who are note among the apostles. I guess that doesn't necessarily mean that they were apostles, but they were note among them, okay? Noted among them. Who also, here's what I'm after though, who also were in Christ before me. He's mentioning these, and he says they were in Christ before me. So we have to realize, wait a minute here, this is not something that's exactly the same as chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is not exactly the same as, you know, I mean, regeneration could have been before Paul. Okay, that's a possibility. But if you compare this with, let's see, it's Galatians 1:22. Okay, he's pointing out some there at Rome, and he says they were in Christ before him. All right, Galatians 1:22. Paul is speaking of some of his experience. Let me go back up to 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Okay, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Okay? He was unknown by face to those churches who were already in Christ. Okay? So that has to be something that happens in the way of obedience. You know, when God has blessed us with regeneration, blessed us with spiritual faculties, and then it comes the time when we are able to hear and embrace the doctrine. Okay? And we obey the scriptural command to be baptized, okay, and are brought into the fellowship of the church. All right. So Paul spoke of those who also were in Christ before me. Okay. So I only mention that because I mean it is scripture and it is a use of being in Christ, but he puts that on there saying they were in Christ before me. So that has to be a way in which this is used on a timely basis. Okay, there were other churches that were rejoicing in Christ before he came to that understanding, okay, before God dealt with him. So baptized believers walking in the faith, rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, should have stayed in Galatians there. Let's begin in verse 24. Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay. For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I understand that regeneration is a type of baptism of the Spirit, okay? But that has to be prerequisite to someone obeying the gospel and desiring baptism and being buried in that liquid grave and coming out, okay? That water baptism doesn't give us life, even though there are many who preach that. There's not nothing about water baptism that will make you one of the elect. Nothing about water baptism that will make you anything other than what you already were. But bless your hearts, when we submit to the ordinance of baptism, then we take his name upon us. So we're buried in that liquid grave, showing that when Christ died and rose again, he represented us. And we rejoice to be identified with him. Okay. Go to Romans 13. There's just some other ways that he speaks of this in terms of something that we do, something we have involvement in. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. That's us as all manner of unrestrained pleasures. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's also kind of a way of thinking about being in Christ. But this is something that we have a choice about. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Elsewhere, the scripture speaks about how that we should adorn the doctrine of God. When we have been blessed to understand the Word of God, understand how He would have us to live, and we put those things into practice, and others can see because of our conversation, our conduct, when others can see that we're following Christ, then we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's as much of a mental exercise as it is anything else. Just like when Paul speaks about the putting on the whole armor of God. We don't have a physical armor that we put on, but we need to put it on in our mind. We need to have our mind transformed. We need to guard ourselves. And we need to take advantage of all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is that aspect, and I just mentioned a few times, but it is one of those aspects where in Christ, the thought of being in Christ has something to do with our obedience. But obviously that's after we're chosen, after we are regenerated, then we can respond to the gospel. So I'll come back to where we started tonight, Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, what a blessing it is that God has shown us in His Word. He could have done so much of this and never told us about it. But what a blessing it is that we're able to know and understand that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That God purposed that He would send His Son to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And that in Him, all the blessings that we have ever enjoyed, all the blessings that we now enjoy, and all the blessings that we ever hope to have, come to us through Him. May God help us to rejoice that He's blessed us to know that we are in Him. May God bless you, is our prayer.